Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What was your reaction to the lessons this morning? Perhaps your impression was similar to mine. Taken as a whole, they were rather depressing. When I first read through these three lessons appointed for this day, I was a bit disappointed. During my second reading, I became disquieted. The third reading did little to assuage my concern, my dismay. Simply put, it seemed to me that these lessons, these pericopes, contain precious little gospel. In fact, they seem to be all law, disturbing and distressing the reader. And who, especially among Lutherans, is really inclined to preach or to listen to a law-oriented sermon which contains very little gospel? Of course, I tried, as Raphael encourages us to do, to find one of those gospel handles which would make it possible to emphasize the precious little gospel in this text. But far as I might, I could not find a gospel handle that did not seem contrived or hooked. No phrase or image stood out clearly, with evident evangelical clarity, which would provide that gospel thrust or that point of departure advocated by Lutheran homileticians. The obvious solution: abandon the text and see something else. But then that thought, generated a plague of questions, a plague of observations. So many of the passages of Holy Scripture really do contain clear and evident gospel statements. Is there much in Scripture which is all law, which contains no clear, evident gospel? No implied gospel. There are long historical narratives, more than a few accounts of gruesome events, heinous behavior, spiritual laxity, faithlessness, apostasy. There are detailed expositions setting forth the cultic and moral laws of God, with rather specific enumerations of the punishment to be meted out to the transgressors. There are numerous harsh condemnations of men and of women, individually and collectively, for their failure to hear and heed the will of God. Now, certainly it would be interesting, were time and talent and method equal to the task, to try to categorize each passage of Scripture as law or gospel. Interesting, perhaps, but to what purpose? Would it be edifying? We already know, don't we, that Scripture contains law and gospel. That God speaks to us not merely with words of promise, not merely with words of comfort, but with words of condemnation and judgment, whereby He makes known not merely His judgment of grace, but His judgment of law. Law and gospel, gospel and law. They go together hand in hand. Both are clearly revealed in Scripture. And as both Luther and Walter were fond of saying, law and gospel must be rightly divided and clearly preached. Of course, that's obvious. But I was troubled, because they seem an accusatory fact, a disturbing fact. Certainly we Lutherans are rightly concerned with proclaiming the gospel, the good news of our salvation by grace through faith, for Christ Jesus' sake. The doctrine of justification, the evangelical message, is the heart of the Scripture. It's the heart of our teaching, the light by which all else is illuminated, the lens through which all becomes clear.
But what is our attitude towards the law?
Not our theology of the law,
but our attitude towards the theological statement of the law.
Do we really meditate upon the law of the Lord as a necessary and integral part of our corporate or individual devotional life? How often do we examine our inmost thoughts, our hidden deeds, in the light of the awesomeness of God's law? How often do we comprehend His right and just condemnation of our sins? Do we really preach the law clearly and forcefully as we do the gospel? Do we preach the law? Not the legalistic, bombastic emoting of frustrated preachers chastising the inaction, the insolvency, the apathy of the people, or condemning all those sinful people out there someplace. But the law, the awesome, spirit-wrenching, soul-disturbing, righteous and holy accusation, holy condemnation, which God utters in judgment of our own sin. The law will speak clearly and evidently so to him who preaches and you who hear, which condemns not merely the foibles we will admit, but the secret sins which we seek to excuse, and the unconfessed, perhaps even unrecognized evil, which lies within each of us. We who daily handle the word of truth feel the clear, often very specific accusations God throws at us. Do we comprehend His terrifying, horrible judgment? The message of the lesson for this day seems to be that all people, including or perhaps especially the people of God, need to hear and ponder and be humbled by the law, for we all live in a sinful, sin-filled world. Think about it. Hosea the prophet, speaking in the northern kingdom in the days of Jeroboam the second, railed against the sinfulness of Israel. Like his younger contemporary Amos, he condemned the idolatry, the injustice of the acquisitive, pleasure-seeking, self-serving nation which had forgotten its God. In its material well-being, it had forgotten the covenant God made with them at Mount Sinai. In a time of plenty, the children of Yahweh were rushing headlong toward spiritual, social, and economic ruin. They had prostituted themselves and had exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Therefore, Hosea calls upon them to hear the word of the Lord. God charged them, accused them, but they have committed great and terrible sins. They have forgotten the knowledge of the Lord. They have failed to live in His truth. They have failed to show His mercy. They are worthy of the full judgment of God. But the law speaks judgment not merely upon those who are openly lascivious, clearly idolatrous. It speaks judgment also against those who seek to inhibit the proclamation of God's word, or who distort it or pervert its message while claiming to be faithful followers of the law of the Lord. Though the law condemns those who stop to seize and execute St. Paul, for he sought to entrap and condemn Jesus, the very Lord of Sabbath, for doing good on the Sabbath. Again and again in Holy Scriptures, God speaks judgment. Judgment upon the very people he called to be his own. Through his prophets, through his apostles, he condemned their faithfulness and their service to the gods they made of the things of this world. Again and again, the Bible condemns the smugly religious with their hard-heartedness, callousness, self-serving piety. a considered but loveless, condescending and self-seeking charity, a theological and moral arrogance, which exchanges the presumptuous of human learning and judgment for the humbling knowledge, the humbling understanding of the wisdom and the truth which only God can make known. And this judgment, this condemnation of the law of God, is not merely for the people back then or the people out there. It's spoken to me, and it's spoken to you. And when I hear it, and when you hear it, we are dismayed and disturbed and troubled and cast into hopelessness. We cry out with the psalmist, out of the depths I cry unto you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. We sing out with mournful tones the paraphrase that Luther made of the same word, from depths of woe I cry to you. And in woe and in despair comes a precious little gospel word, the word spoken to the man with a withered hand, the words of our Savior. Come, stand by me. Stretch out your hand. And it was here, in our despair, as we recognize we can do no good in God's sight, God calls to us. Our Savior, the Lord of Sabbath, calls to us. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He heals us. He makes us new. He gives us rest. This Lord, this God of Sabbath, speaks to us with his law, so that we might clearly hear and hold fast to those precious gospel words. Your sins are forgiven for us. The gospel might be precious little, but it is perfect. Hold fast. Stand fast. Stand by the side of your healing faith.